Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Things are shaking up in Major League Baseball for sure. Cars, Rico Cassick from Baltimore. Keyboard player, Greg Hawks from Howard County. A lot of flavor. Padres, Mason Miller, J.P. Sears from the A's. Mason Miller was available to close last night. Marcotte said, well, he's not available and he ain't hurt. And just a month ago, the A's were saying, nope, not available. But Mason Miller and that bazillion-mile-an-hour fastball along with J.P. Sears go to the San Diego Padres. So it looks like Dylan Cease or Suarez could be on the move there. There you go. And now it's confirmed reports, Nolan and Vinny, that Zach Eflin, 15-day IL with a back issue. And Brandon Young pitched well a couple of days ago. He is coming back to Baltimore. So Zach Eflin, according to Ken, could still be moved. Expiring year of his deal. It's a high risk, high reward kind of move. If you trade for him, he can't pitch again.
Yeah, Bob, the only thing that would scare me about that is that's not the first time that he's been on the IL with a back. So you know it's coming back.
Back to back. A's, by the way, getting Leodolis DeVries. I'm sure I'm butchering his name. The number three overall prospect in Major League Baseball. So is Mike Elias still going to pull some triggers? Joining us now to talk about that on this Total Request Thursday. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday from OrielsHangout.com. Joins us every week on the Window Nation Guest Hotline, Tony Pentee. Tony, first of all, good morning.
Good morning. Is there anything going on? I feel like it's been really boring lately.
Now, in regards to Eflin going on the IL, last year of his deal, and we were talking before the show with Jeremy Kahn, because Rob, he was out the door doing stuff he's got to take care of. But what about, and Rockabacco wrote about it today on Mass and Sports. With Eflin, you've got scenarios. You trade him, which they could still do. You tender him, and he doesn't accept it, and then you get a draft pick as compensation. Or he accepts a tender, which could be probably over $22 million next year. But now that he's on the IL back-to-back times with a back, what's the value here? What's the risk versus reward for insert contending team here?
Yeah, I think his value just was that pretty much went up in smoke. There's I can't imagine a team, like Vinny just said, he's been on now the IL twice with this back injury. He's not thrown the ball well this year overall. I mean, obviously this last start was okay, but when you look at the overall stats, I mean, he's just not had a good year. So you're getting a guy that's has not been pitching well. He's got back issues. You only have him for the rest of the year. I don't see how he's going to bring any value. And then his most value might be, as you talked about, just tendering him, and trying to get the pick. But you got to risk that this back injury is going to come back around. And we know one thing about Mike Elias is he's kind of risk averse, and it doesn't sound like, he probably will go that route. But if he thinks he will not accept it and go to become a free agent and he can get a pick out of it, then I think he'll go that route. But his trade value has to be almost nothing at this point.
All right, let's talk about a couple of the guys that Mike Elias has acquired via trade. We'll start with Juwan Watts Brown from Toronto and the Suarez deal, who comes in, As Toronto's 10th guy. Now he's Baltimore's 8th guy. And talk about some of the other dudes that have been acquired. De La Cruz yesterday in the trade with the Chicago Cubs with Kittredge there.
Yeah, so far, I mean, yeah, I like the returns. Everybody that they're moving are guys that either were expiring contracts or guys that you kind of question on what's their future here in this organization. Obviously, I think the number one guy they've got so far is, probably the lottery ticket that he just got for Kittredge with Wilfrey De La Cruz. I mean, he's a guy that signed for $2.3 million last year from the Cubs. That's more than the Orioles have spent on any of their international guys on one guy. So he was well thought of. Obviously anybody, they're all, switch hitting shortstop, showed good you know, had a decent year in his first year as a 17-year-old in Dominican, but you really can't take too much out of those stats. He's an absolute wild card. You don't know what's going to happen there, but considering that the upside is a regular everyday shortstop, which is what they must think when they gave him $2.3 million, then, you know, that's a pretty good return for a guy like Kittredge, who is a good reliever, but he's not a dominant reliever. You know, he's not the guy you send in there in the eighth inning and he's going to shut everything down. You know, lefties hit him a lot better than righties do. Even this year, it wasn't as bad as it was last year, but you really don't trust him against lefties. So, you know, I think getting that return for him is a really good return. And the other guy, like you talked about, was Jaron Watts Brown. I think he's probably the second best guy they got. Maybe Wellington Arocena also. We came in the Soto trade, is probably up there as well. But Watts Brown has got some chance. He's got a great slider. You know, I really like the curveball's not too bad. The fastball's not overwhelming. It's 90, 93. Sometimes he'll hit 94, 95 on occasion, but he's not a real high fastball guy, but he's got some good IVB on there. He's getting some carry on it. You're seeing guys swing through it, which in the zone, which telling me it's got some pretty good carry. So maybe it plays up a little bit. I don't have extension numbers or anything else to let me understand why they're really, well, you know, what that fastball is performing. But when you're looking at it overall, I think he's a solid return for a guy like Sir Anthony Dominguez, who was going to be a free agent at the end of the year and is a very inconsistent reliever that, again, I don't know if I'd ever really trust him with a one-run lead in the eighth inning.
Tony Pente, RealsHangout.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, total request Thursday, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass, talk to him in a few minutes. Now, with Ramon Urias gone to Houston, and we can get into the particulars of that at another time, but is there a utility-like infielder on the farm? Because Urias can help you win games, as we've seen for the last 5 years. Is there anyone that could possibly resemble him? As I expect, I don't know what you think, that the Orioles are going to contend next year.
Right. Well, I think probably the number one guy that's probably going to have an opportunity here is going to be Jeremiah Jackson. Jackson is a 25-year-old. He's supposedly a shortstop, but it's more of a utility kind of guy. He's not a great defensive shortstop. He can move over to second to be effective. He can go to the outfield. He's played a little bit of third base, not too bad over there. And he is just on an absolute heater in AAA. He's a guy with a little bit of pop. He's got a good enough arm to play on shortstop or third base. Just the hands aren't consistent. He does some goofy stuff out there, shortstop. So I wouldn't want him out there every day. But can he fill in for you there? Yeah, I would be okay with him being a game or two if you need to give Gunnar off. I think he probably gets the first major opportunity. Obviously, Luis Vasquez also is a utility guy who's been in AAA this year, who was up a little bit with the Orioles, but the Orioles never played him when he was up here. He's another guy. He's a better defensive shortstop, but again, Gunnar Henderson is going to be out there 158 times a year. So you really just need a guy who can kind of play there a little bit. I'd rather have a guy that's a little better at third base and maybe has a little bit of pop and can also go to the outfield. And I think that's what Jeremiah Jackson brings. I have a feeling he's going to be a guy that they're going to bring up here and kind of give a look over the last rest of this year. I could be wrong. Could be Luis Vasquez gets that call. But I think Jeremiah Jackson, the way he's been hitting and playing in AAA, probably deserves that opportunity right now to see if he could be that long-term replacement for Urias.
Hey, Tone, talk me through how, like, Elias and his group, they go through this trade stuff. I mean, because, you know, like 2 weeks ago, do they – because you don't know who you're trading with. Like, you're going to get a guy from, you know, Class A. How do you know which guys you want? You know, that, mm-hmm. you know, how do you know who to ask for when they say, okay, we want to trade that. All right, we want your guy down on a farm or what? How does that go about?
Yeah, I'm sure that they're tracking, they have the StatCast information is available for all minor leagues, right? All teams have all teams StatCast data. So you can start checking through the StatCast data. You can see guys have certain pitches, certain shapes that you like. And you can start to target them that way. And then you can, you know, obviously if they're playing in the same league as your teams, you know, you're going to have your manager, your other coaching staff seeing these guys as well. So you have those pieces. Plus, if you notice, a lot of these guys are guys that have not been in the system very long. They were, I'm sure, were scouted by the amateur scouting side. They know who these guys were. They were probably on their board somewhere. So when you're getting a Jerron Watts Brown or even a Twine Palmer, who was a 19 round draft pick last year for the Astros, you know, these are guys I'm sure the Orioles were aware of. I'm sure they had these guys on their board somewhere. The Orioles are pretty good at identifying these guys like Twine Palmer that are out there with these pitch shapes and seeing how they do. And that's how they got guys like Trey Gibson, who was a free agent signing just 2 years ago. And now he's a top 10 prospect for the Orioles. So hopefully that's the kind of reason why they're targeting these particular guys. Are they all going to work out? Absolutely not. We all know that. But I do think everybody I'm seeing they're picking up. You can see why some of the reasons why they would want these guys. And hopefully when they get to higher levels, one day they're up there pitching for the Orioles.
Tony Petit, what's happening at OriolesHangout.com?
Well, it's extremely busy right now. Any rumor, anything that's being, any action, any trade is posted on our message board. People get a chance to know exactly who they're traded for, get a chance to give your thoughts. And if you haven't joined up, you get an opportunity to go ahead and join up. It's free and get in on the conversation and find out everything that's going on with the Orioles and their minor leagues.
Tony, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
There's Tony Petit. We'll come back, whip around. A lot of cool stuff happening in Orioles history. We'll touch on some of them. And then Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, our colleague here on BBT, talks about the trade deadline. Who's gone? Who's next?